state right now. My name is Jay Izzo, and I am the host, and you're here live at the Linda Crafted Team Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Research Triangle Park. And I'll tell you what, today's show is absolutely outstanding. Listen, if you're a first-time homebuyer, you want to be listening to the show. Here's a better idea. If you are a parent of a first-time homebuyer, you want them to listen to the show.
That's right.
If you are, if you know somebody who is looking at buying the first home,
you need to watch the show. You need to listen to the show. And I will say one more thing.
Yeah, okay.
If you haven't bought a home in over 20 years and you're thinking about buying a home again,
you want to watch the show.
I think so too, because so much has changed.
So it is the first time home buyer thing. A lot has changed here because we had the pandemic. And by the way, I'm with Kim Crump, Linda Crafted Team Realtors.
Hello.
Buyer and listing specialist with Linda Crafted Team for over 11 years.
Yes. It's very exciting. I know.
Right with us. So let's talk about the market changes.
Okay.
Have created a little bit of a disturbance.
They did.
Because interest rates have rose. We had inventory problems.
We did.
And so first-time home buyers has been a little bit of an issue. But that's not the end of the story, right? I mean, there's still room for them.
There is. I tell you what, come on back, because in the last year or so, yeah, the inventory and the bidding on these homes with huge amounts of deposits, right, non-refundable deposits, found first-time home buyers, it was very hard to compete for them.
Right.
So now we're seeing a return because we do have more inventory. We have more choices. And I actually was able to get a VA buyer, which is 100% financing, under contract on a property this past week. And he only did $5,000 in due diligence. So it's wonderful because he was not able to compete in the last 12 months. But now... Things are starting to shift and change, and so there is more inventory, so more chances and hope for first-time home buyers to come back into the market again.
So what we're saying here is, if you're a first-time home buyer and you've been out of the market, don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
We got you back here. Matter of fact, I happened to see, I got something across my email that you were working with a first-time home buyer, and they just gave you a glowing recommendation.
They did. They gave me a 5-star Google review.
They did.
And they didn't have it easy either. Would you like to hear the story?
Yeah, I would love the story, yeah.
Well, they had put their name down on a model home. A model home had come up for sale in January, and they were fourth on the list. Well, the first buyer who had a deposit on that property decided they didn't want it. They didn't want to wait for this model home to come.
Okay.
And so then the other three people in front of them also jumped off. And my clients ended up under contract on this beautiful model home. However, because of the construction and the enormous amount of permits going through to the county and the cities, a lot of the permitting was backed up. So yes, it was a beautiful model home. It was already built, but there was no driveway, and the garage was still the office of the builder.
For the builder,
It was actually KB Homes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had to wait for the permitting to go through.
Right.
And even though the house was built, they had to tear everything out of the garage, rebuild it into a garage, and then put the driveway in. And it sounds really simple. Right. But not when you're waiting on permits. So it can get frustrating.
But it happened and you got them sold. And
they are so happy.
And they're really happy.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful home.
I think we forget, if you've never been out looking at new homes, that model home is often the office where they sell the homes from.
That's right.
And so somewhere down the road, that home's going to sell and that transition has to happen.
That's right. And sometimes builders will actually sell it and lease it back to the buyers.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the buyers will take over, of course, once they're done with the model very office. Cool. But anyway, I'm sorry. We're off sidetrack. No,
we're not. That's good information. So we're talking first-time home buyers. Let's talk about one of the things that that we know of. You've been doing this for 11 plus years in your experience. So what are the emotions of a first-time home buyer?
Oh, all of them. All of them. You know, we have excitement, disappointment, sadness, fear, anger.
Okay.
But realistically, the first emotion, of course, is excitement. Mm-hmm. You know, there is nothing more exciting than owning your own home.
Right. Well, and it's the biggest purchase you're going to ever make.
Exactly.
But I mean, it is exciting, right?
Because so then, to your point, it's the biggest purchase you're going to make. So then you're scared.
Right.
Because
okay.
That's a big commitment.
But it is. But I'm also thinking, too, you know, it's kind of exciting because you're taking a risk. I mean, you've been in an apartment your whole life.
Right.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Or living with mom and dad.
Or living with mom and dad, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of like the very first big, huge thing, mm-hmm. you know, that you're going to, I mean, it's
so
the
what do you do? Right. I mean, what do you do? And that is the question you should be asking a realtor and not trying to figure out on your own, because when you, there are certain steps that you need to take. Mm-hmm. Which are going to make the process so much easier and less stress on you. Okay. Yes, it's going to be exciting. There may be some disappointment in there, as we know with this past market and all of the bidding we had. Yeah, it took a couple of contracts for buyers to get into a home. But excitement, yes. Super excited when they come in. Mm-hmm. Fear, I don't know how to do this. Well, that's what we're here for.
We're here
to guide them through the entire process and really calm down that fear so they understand they have a partner, they have support, they have someone that's going to be with them all the way through the process.
Okay, so let's dig into these emotions a little bit more, because you know, I'm a psych professional and I kind of into this whole psychology thing, and I think that type of thing is kind of always interesting to me. So I get the fear. We're going to talk about fear a little bit later, but I really want to talk about, though, this disappointment. Because how do you prepare? Is there a way you could prepare a first-time home buyer for disappointment? Because, I mean, a lot of times, you know, I think the dream has to be when you're a first-time home buyer is, okay, we're going to find a perfect house and we're going to make the bid. We're going to get it for the price we want and everything is going to work out fine. The inspection report is going to be perfect and everything is going to be just right and it's going to happen absolutely smoothly.
And it's going to happen in 5 days. Woohoo! Let's go! So realistically, a lot of buyers don't understand the time frame it actually takes to purchase the home before even starting to look at homes. So we have a couple of different phases. You have the search for your home.
Right.
You have the contract, the negotiations, and getting under contract for the home.
Right.
And then you have contract to close.
Right.
And then you have your moving in. So there is sometimes there could be quite a long time between the time you start looking at homes and the time you close. But the way we do it here is the buyer consultation.
Right.
Always encourage. If you know anybody who is a first-time home buyer, they need to understand the process.
Right.
They need to understand so we can set expectations along the way. And the first thing as a first-time home buyer, the first thing you don't do is you don't go and look at homes right away, because that is doing things backwards.
Whoa. But okay, all right. All right, so now I'm kind of, because this is not where I was going to go, but now you've got me intrigued here, because I'm like going, but it's the natural thing to do. I mean, the natural thing to do is, you know, we sit down together and, you know, as a buyer, and you go to, you know, some website and you're checking homes and going,
there's an open house.
There's an open house. Let's go, right?
Yeah.
Right? But you're saying,
oh, I like this one.
Yeah, but you're saying don't do that.
No. You get in there. Okay, so my question to you, first-time home buyers, well, what do you do when you get into that home that you love? What do you do?
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you don't understand the buying process,
right,
you're doing things backwards. Because we want to make sure that we're ready to go through that process. So when we meet for a buyer consultation, what we'll do is we will discuss your lender.
Right.
And we have a fabulous lender here today,
Catherine Young.
Young's
is
amazing.
Here. Yeah,
she'll be going through all of the first-time home buying financing part. You'll have, and that is realistically, that is the first step. Because if you don't get pre-qualified, well, I should say pre-approved, where your credit is run and your debt to credit, your income ratio has been run, all of that good stuff. Sorry, Catherine, if I messed that up for you.
She'll correct it. She'll come out here and correct it later.
So we need to know what price point you're shopping in.
Right.
The worst thing for a buyer is to start shopping up here at a certain price point.
Right.
And then, oops, I can't afford that.
Right.
And then you have to drop your expectations on what you can afford.
Right.
So we want to make sure that we are shopping in the right price bracket.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to get pre-approved.
Right. Okay, so wait. There's something else that kind of hits me here too. I think it's like, if I'm a buyer, I'm thinking about the open house thing that you brought up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Were we doing it backwards? But then I'm thinking about, okay, well, who represents you?
Exactly. So if you go into an open house, what agent is there?
Right.
Is it the agent that's representing the seller?
They're representing the seller.
Yes, exactly.
So they're representing the seller at that point. So if they're mm-hmm. representing the seller, whose best interest do they have mm-hmm. when you walk in the door?
Absolutely, it's the seller's. So if you walk in,
because they have a responsibility to the seller. They've already signed a contract. They have a responsibility to the seller.
So if it is the listing agent and they're holding their own open house,
right.
they represent the seller. If it is another agent, right. and even though they may not be the listing agent,
right.
they still represent the seller. So when you're walking into an open house, it's better to know what you're walking into. Can you afford the house? Do you have a pre-approval letter, mm-hmm. etc. But open houses are fun. Who doesn't like? The open houses, parade of homes, everybody likes to go in because it gives you that dream.
Right.
It gives you that excitement. Okay,
right.
You know, this could be us. This is possibly a home for us. So yes, go into open houses, but also go into the mindset of, well, who's going to represent me?
Right.
And if you come do a consultation with us, we'll hand you out our business cards.
Right.
We'll explain the entire process. So if you do happen to run by an open house, by all means, we encourage you, go in, take a look. And then you hand our business card over to the agent who's on duty so they know that you have representation.
And if you're lucky enough to be at an open house that serves free lemonade and cookies.
Yummy.
Yummy. It's yummy. Okay.
Take it all.
Okay, so fear. Fear is a big word because, you know, psychologically we know the fear does three things, right? You either fight, you run away, or you freeze.
That's right.
Right? It's our three phases, right, of fear. So when you're dealing with fear mm-hmm. with a first-time home buyer.
Yes.
Let's talk about their big fears.
Sure. Well, fear will come all the way through the process. And fear comes in a form of what we call buyer's remorse.
Mm. So it's generally after the purchase?
So it comes in waves.
Okay.
So let's say you find your house. You are so excited. You've gotten pre-approved. We've written the offer and we're getting ready to submit it.
Okay.
As soon as I have submitted that offer to the listing agent and I confirm it with my clients and say, hey, it's gone over there, that is your first wave of buyer's remorse because you're saying, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done? Was it the right decision? I don't know. Okay, so that is a wave of buyer's remorse because you just start questioning your actions.
What's a lot of money?
It is a lot of money.
And I just took out a loan for a whole bunch of money.
But guess what?
Okay.
It's going to be yours and you're going to see your equity grow, which means you're going to make money.
Right. So buyer's remorse, which I get, right?
So
which
that's just the first wave of buyer's remorse. Okay. It's going to happen to you about four more times throughout the process.
Okay. All right. Help me.
Okay. So what we haven't said is there are almost 40 steps to get through in the home buying purchase.
Okay, Kim, we do not have time to go through all 40 steps. We have other people have to be on the show.
All right, so we won't cover all the 40 steps. What we will do is we'll cover the main contention spots for buyers.
Yeah, okay, let's
okay?
do that. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So number one, when we first write the contract.
Okay.
Number two, it gets accepted. Right. Oh, God, now what have we really done?
Right.
Excitement, and then fear.
Right, okay.
Okay. And then we order all the inspections, and we have a little bit of a calm for a while. Now, remember, when you're going through this transaction, you have two different paths that we're taking.
Okay.
Okay, I'm a realtor.
Right.
Catherine Youngs, she is the lender.
Right.
So my clients will be walking with me down one road while we do the real estate part of it.
Right.
I don't do the finance part. I'm not qualified to answer all those questions.
Right.
Catherine Young's, she will be on the other path,
right,
going parallel with us on the financing.
Got it. Yeah.
So when you're doing the real estate things, you may also be doing all of your lending on the and supplying documents and everything that Catherine may need throughout the transaction.
Right.
So getting back to another part of contention, the biggest part of contention really is when we get the inspection report back.
Because there's always something on the inspection report.
Oh, always. It doesn't matter. If it's a brand new home, you will still have something on that inspection report.
Okay, see, this is I think this is important because I think people think that even in new homes, right, that, okay, if I buy a new home, there's not going to be anything on an inspection report, but there's always something on there.
Well, they think that because they do have to have county and city inspections, and they do have to have these inspectors come by and okay the house. However, they don't run the dishwasher, and they don't look at the same things as home inspectors look at.
So when you do
a private home inspection, they'll still find things.
Right.
Now, it's not necessarily going to be a fault. Sometimes builders have a different way of constructing a home, and it's just different to an inspector. So they'll explain that.
But I think a lot of times in new homes, it's like, oh, there's a loose fitting that needs to be tightened or. I mean, it's typically not major.
No, correct.
And then sometimes it's true, isn't it, when you get by a resale home, mm-hmm, that we can over-exaggerate how bad something is.
Well, let's take a look at a home inspection report just for example.
Okay.
The first five pages are an introduction.
Okay.
It's explaining what the home inspection is all about.
Okay. Nobody reads
it. And how to read it.
Nobody reads it.
So flip.
Nobody reads the first five pages.
And let's just say you have a 60-page home inspection.
Okay.
A lot of those are photos. A lot of them are photos. So you may have three photos identifying one problem. And as you go through the list, the first half of the inspection report is actually your summary. And then the second half is a repeat with a little bit more in-depth information about the summary.
Okay.
So we may have a 60-page home inspection. However, there's only really maybe five full pages of necessity, what we need to look at and assess.
Okay. All right. So, okay, we get this 60-page report.
I'm sweating like crazy. It's hot.
It's hot outside. And it's terribly hot outside here too. So, okay, we get the inspection report.
Yeah.
And we come back and let's say we see some issues and you're a first-time home buyer and you've never, I mean, this is where I think sometimes first-time home buyers get a little panicked.
Absolutely.
As because they go, oh my gosh, what is?
Yes. And then, they've thought, what have I done?
What am I doing?
Oh my gosh, I have bought a lemon. I bought a lemon. It's the worst. Oh my goodness.
Right.
So, but what happens is the inspector will send the agent the report. It will send our closing department the report.
Right.
We all look at it, and we get together with the buyer, and we explain it.
Right.
And then if we need to, we'll get estimates from a contractor, mm-hmm, and we will either negotiate repairs or sometimes a credit.
Right.
It really depends. Every single transaction is different.
But I think it's important that, you know, as a first-time home buyer, that you recognize that an inspection report is just helping you
understand your house.
Understand the house.
That's right.
And by the way, everything is fixable.
Correct. So, and we also have to remember in North Carolina, and I know we've said this before, but every house in North Carolina is sold as is.
Right.
So any buyer has to be aware.
Right.
The seller is not obligated to make any repairs whatsoever.
Right.
We can ask them all day long.
Right.
They can say no all day long.
But then that also, for a first time home buyer, if a seller refuses on, does that give them an option to get out?
They can back out of a contract. However, they will lose that due diligence money that they put up as a deposit. Mm. So that due diligence, let's use my client, for example, who spent $5,000 on due diligence.
Okay.
And we've had our home inspection done. And the report came back with pretty much the usual stuff. There really wasn't anything major.
Okay.
No leaks. Maybe some door hinges that will loose, things of that nature, but right. nothing really bad. Now, let's just say there was a structural defect or there was something really majorly wrong. And the seller said, no, I'm not going to fix it, which is highly unrealistic. People just remember that. If there is a major flaw and the seller doesn't want to fix it, they may have problems with resale too. So we've got, let me use another example because that was a poor example. Okay. Let's say there's polybutylene piping.
Do we still deal with that?
We do.
Really? Okay.
Because there are a lot of properties that were built in the 90s and they used polybutylene piping.
All right.
Okay. Let's say we use polybutylene, they use polybutylene piping, and of course that will be reflected on the inspection list. Right. The seller does not have to change anything if those pipes are all functioning as intended.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
However, a buyer may have gone online
and
gone down the wormhole, and they do not want polybutylene piping.
Right.
Well, if my buyer didn't want polybutylene piping and it wasn't discovered prior to the inspection, and he can walk away, but he will forfeit that $5,000 to the seller.
Got it. So you have to play that. Okay. So, all right, so inspections, we get through inspections. What's our next phase of buyer remorse?
So buyer remorse, actually the very last stage of buyer remorse is when you're at the attorney's table, when you are there at settlement, getting ready to sign those papers.
And you're...
Because it's a finality. You've gone through all of the emotions, ups and downs, happiness, sadness, joy, relief. And then you get to the table and you're like...
Oh my gosh, what have I done?
What do I do now?
What have I done?
Oh, you move in. That's what you get to do now. So that is the very last place where a buyer really will feel remorse is at the closing table.
Yeah.
But that disappears a lot faster than the inspection.
Yeah, because you're moving in. Now you get moved in. Okay. Yeah. So... What typically does a first-time home buyer not know? Did we cover that? Maybe we covered that. What typically does a first-time home buyer not know that would be helpful for them to know?
So we did talk about being pre-approved right away.
Right.
Okay. We did. We mentioned not going and looking at homes first.
Right.
And we want that's because we want to explain the process.
Right.
It is very emotional.
Right.
You need to understand how the process works, who represents who throughout the transaction, what professional services you're going to need.
Right.
And you also may want to do some research into the different parts of town. Some people want to research schools. Some people want to research water resources, floodplains. Where exactly do you want to live in town? So there's a lot more than just the house, which is, I believe... not realized by buyers because you're thinking house. But when you actually walk into houses and I may bring up, hey, Masonite siding versus fiber cement siding versus vinyl siding, we want to educate a buyer on as many things as possible because as soon as they step into a home, their emotions are going to take over.
Right.
They're going to be living in that home and they're going to be thinking about their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They're going to be thinking, is this right for us? Mm-hmm. And if we have covered all of the bases to begin with, it takes that pressure off a home buyer when they do find that right home because they know exactly what's coming next and what to expect.
Okay, so following up with that question, what can a first-time home buyer do to be more prepared before they go in to purchasing a home? I mean, I'm thinking maybe even before they come to see you. I mean, can they do some pre-prep?
Absolutely. One of the biggest and hardest decisions a buyer normally makes is the location where you want to live. Mm-hmm. Drive around town. Mm. Take a look. Are there certain things that you want to live by? Do you want to live close to work? If you want to live close to work, you may not want to spend your life in a car. So take a look around, see if you can find those areas that you like. Now, when it comes to an area, are you going to be able to afford a single family home in that area or a townhome? And that will bring me to my next point. With first-time home buyers, one mistake I do see quite often is their expectations and what they're looking for. First-time home buyers usually make a move within the first 3 to 5 years after buying their first house. So don't overthink it. Don't think, oh my goodness, I want 10 acres of land. I want this big house. I want. Well, what do you really need and what's going to be your best investment over the next 3 years, because your life is going to change.
Right, right.
In 3 to 5 years.
Right.
You may get a relocation with job. You may have children. You may outgrow the property.
Right.
You may not like it at all and decide, okay, this is not for me.
Right.
So don't get tied up in too long of a goal in what you want in real estate, because it's constantly changing.
Right.
And that's one of my biggest recommendations to first-time home buyers. Really look at your life and say, okay, this is what we need right now.
Right.
And this will work for us. Grow your equity in that property. And then over time, that's how you make money in real estate.
Okay, this is kind of an interesting point that you bring up, and I think it's a really big one. And that is, you know, maybe when you're buying your first home, maybe it's better to think investment, because I'm going to end up selling, because it's not going to be the final home. My first home is probably not going to be my last home.
Correct. Correct. Right. And a lot of first-time home buyers say, well, I'm going to be renting this in 2 years.
Right.
So can you rent it? You've got to make sure that you can purchase.
Right.
If you're looking at a townhome, can I rent it in this neighborhood? There are a lot of neighborhoods right now who are restricting investors.
Right.
Or they have a cap on investors and how many people can rent in that community. So understanding your short-term goals.
Right.
Is really pivotal to which direction you're going to go with home buying.
Got it. That's beautiful. All right. You know what? This has gone really fast.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. We've done like 27 minutes.
Oh my gosh. I talk like nothing else. Okay.
All right. So was there another question though that we should have asked you that I didn't ask you here?
We got through the fears, the mistakes that people made, you know. Let's see if there's anything else in here.
I think the thing that we just have to say is, well, Kim Crump, how do people get a hold of you?
919-605-6045. That's my phone number.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, drop a message, of course. You can find me on all social media. And my email address is kim@lindacraft.com.
And that's LINDACRAFT.
That's great. Thank you so much for having me.
It was awesome. Thanks, Kim.
Send
Catherine Young's back in.
Oh, she's fabulous.
She's fabulous, right? My next guest coming in right now, her name is Catherine Young. She is the Vice President of Mortgage Lending for Guaranteed Rate Mortgage. And she's going to be stepping into the hot seat, as you will, right now. There she comes.
Hello. Jay. Hi, friends. How are you?
There they are. They're over there, right there on that camera.
Hi.
Well, thank you for doing this.
You bet. How are you today?
I am great.
Of course you are.
You know, this is my wheelhouse.
I know. You shine.
This is where I get to do what I love to do. Okay, so you've been in the mortgage lending business how long?
23 years.
Okay, so
I started when I was 12.
Yes.
I did. I was 12. 23 years, Jay.
I was going to say three, but okay.
I paid you to say that.
I will, and I will collect later. Thank you. So 23 years in this business. And you've seen a lot of first-time home buyers in a lot of different seasons. You've been through recession. You've been through really good times. You've been through really rough times. So you've seen it all. So first-time home buyers now, you know, we just had Kim on. And she said, you know what? Things are normalizing a little bit. Yeah, interest rates are higher. But as a first-time home buyer, don't be afraid to get into the water. And if you're interested in purchasing a house from a lending standpoint, you know, what are you saying to first-time home buyers in this market?
You know, do it. Do not be scared. You should never, ever, ever be afraid to try. It's the American dream, right?
Right.
It is the best feeling to own a home.
Right.
And I think that there's a stigma that says, hey, you know what? You have to have all this money and you have to have perfect credit and you should work in the same job for 10 years.
Right.
No.
Right.
There are so many options and so many ways. And it's the biggest investment most people will ever make.
Right.
And a lot of people can even argue it's probably one of the safest investments you can make, right?
Right, yeah.
So,
it's
pretty safe. And if you look at history, the return on the investment's pretty safe, and it always has been and has proven for years.
Right.
And so I think a first-time home buyer should really understand, hey,
I need to try this, right? It's right. my own home, and I'm putting money back into my own life.
Right, right, right.
And so I think that educating people and educating first-time home buyers is so important. And I think that there are wonderful resources and tools online, but to have a personal experience and to have that person you can reach out and touch somebody you can get to and talk to is certainly helpful. So we can ease that fear and that we can say, hey, in 23 years, I've seen it all.
I promise I have seen it all. Okay, so let's talk about that. And because you brought up the word fear. And before you got on, Kim talked about that there's this range of emotions that happens for people. When I'm not sure in the process when they see you. I don't know. They probably should see you first before they see a realtor. But when you see people who are about ready to buy the first home, what is the range of emotions you see?
Well, when they come into my office, Jay, I'll just hand them a Xanax. No, I'm kidding. I am kidding. although some people would love that.
Yeah, that would be great. Instead of a candy bowl, here's a Xanax bowl.
Right. I think I might get in trouble for that. Right. So I'm totally kidding. However, I see all kinds of different emotions, and I see people, they're terrified. They're thinking, oh my gosh, you're going to pull my credit and you're going to see all of this stuff about me and my past. And I didn't pay a bill when I was in college. I can promise you, I have heard every story. I could probably write a book, right? I could write a book and maybe be a comedian. I don't know. Right. I've heard the craziest things. But that's okay, because so have underwriters who look at files. And it really doesn't faze us at all. And the tiniest little thing that someone's terrified about is nothing, typically, right? Or we've heard something a lot crazier.
Right.
So, you know, when they come in, they're scared. My goal is to make people feel comfortable and to realize that we're all human.
Right.
And I have fears about things, right?
Right.
And I put myself in their position. I think, oh my gosh, yes, I've done this for 23 years, but guess what? I need advice on things, and I experience things that I have no knowledge about. So I try to start from the beginning and ease their fears by saying, whatever I see, I've seen worse.
Right.
Or crazier.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just...
Can you say some of the craziest things you've ever seen?
Are you trying to get me fired?
No, I mean, without getting yourself in trouble.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask about me. No.
I mean, what's something that's like bizarre that you've seen?
Okay, this is a crazy story, you guys. And this happened, and I had only been originating for about 5 years. And so I was pretty fresh. And so I had a couple come in, and they were buying a home, and it was their first home together. And I pulled the credit report and I put that in front of them, and we were going through the credit report line by line, and I was asking typical questions, how long, have you paid on this account, and there was an account for a jewelry store, and the wife had never received anything from that jewelry store.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. And it was not pretty. And you're talking about sweating. I was like, oh, do you need a few minutes? I have to go run to the copier or to the scanner, or, oh, my phone's ringing in another room. And needless to say, they left and did not purchase a home. I did not follow up with them because it was a little awkward. So the credit report, yes, can be very telling.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it can be very telling. However, that has never happened again.
Okay.
So don't worry. So speaking of...
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm like, gosh, don't buy anything if you're coming to get a house, because I will see it on the credit report.
It's like, oh my gosh, it's divorce court in the middle of a mortgage.
Oh, I could be a judge. I could be a counselor, a firefighter, you name it.
Oh my gosh.
I could do it.
Oh my gosh.
So speaking of fear, yes, credit reports, we will look at them. and I will see them. And I tease people. I'll say, by the end of this, I will have your blood type and your shoe size. right? But I can tell you this. I have seen credit reports. If you have a blemish or if you have any sort of, oh my gosh, I have a medical collection or anything on that, don't let that stop you from pursuing buying a house. Right. That doesn't mean you can't buy one. Right. I can tell you several things that we look for and the underwriters like to see, if that would be helpful.
Sure.
You know, I always tell first-time home buyers, imagine if you were the one that had to give $200,000 to someone else. What would be important to you if you just handed $200,000 to someone?
What a great picture.
Right? Yeah. And so if I say, and then they had to pay you back, what would be important to you?
Right.
And if I gave someone $200,000, I would want to say, you know what? I want to see how you pay your bills and how you pay that back. Mm. Are you paying on time? Mm. Are you paying the correct amount? Mm. Are you making sure that you're responsible with your money? Mm.
Other bills do you have to pay?
So all of them. That might be shocking, but all of them,
right? Because can I fit one more bill in?
Right.
I'm using your picture because I'm thinking about it
sure.
in that way because I've never thought about it.
Yeah.
But it's a great picture to say, okay, I'm going to loan you this money, right? I mean, what questions would you ask?
Yeah.
That's a neat way.
Isn't that neat?
That is a cool way of looking at it.
And it kind of makes you think, okay, well, also, how much money are you making on a monthly basis, right? Are you making just enough to squeak by with this extra payment? Right. Are you making where you can save? Or if you have an emergency, we don't want to think that we're going to have an emergency, but it's life. And I, you know, can you pay this back because you have a job and you have proven to have a steady job over your lifetime?
Right.
Or if you're new and you're a first-time home buyer, that's okay. Doesn't mean you can't get a loan. Right. But I always say you want to look at how they pay, right?
Right.
Their job.
Right.
How if much? They can save.
Right.
And their habits, their lifetime habits are, right. you know, they get a paycheck and boy, let's go out and blow it all,
right?
And that's why we want to see your bank statements. We want to see that. So, you know, we don't ask for all of this paperwork just to be annoying. Okay.
Right.
I promise. I cannot tell you in 23 years of calling people, I need an extra bank statement or an extra pay stub. Right. Ugh, why do you need one more thing? I promise I'm not doing it because I have time to just be annoying, right? There's a purpose.
Right.
And when we ask for these things, it's just to help build the first-time home buyer and any buyer build their file to help us understand you're not a risk and you're not going to be in a position where you can't afford a home. We don't want you to be in that position.
Right. And if it's your money, if again, going back to your analogy, you know, if it's your money and you are loaning it to somebody, I mean, you would want as much information as you possibly could have.
You got it.
In order to feel good about
giving
person that money. I mean, if it was coming out of your pocket, right? I mean, you would really want to feel good about it.
That's right.
And you'd want to have as much confidence as you could giving it out. Okay, so what are some of the most common questions you get?
Oh, a lot. So I would say one of the most common questions that I get first, do I need 20% to put down on a home?
Great question.
And the answer is no, you do not. Okay. But years ago, right? When I say years ago, that was the biggest thing. You must put 20% down, and we are going to steal your firstborn and then you can buy a home, right? So here's the mortgage world has come a long way, baby, a long way.
Okay.
So you do not need 20%. And I'm probably going to shock you.
Okay.
There are still 100% financing programs
out there. Oh, come on.
There are. You heard me. You love me, Jay, don't
you?
I do. So, and it's different for all states and areas. So, of course, you have to check with the lending institution that you will be working with. However, even in this market, there is a USDA loan. It's 100% financing. You have to buy in certain areas, but and there's some income restrictions, but they're there. And one of the most common mortgage programs that I use all the time, 3% down, folks. Three, not 20, 3% down. Isn't that pretty cool?
That's pretty cool.
Because if you think about it, there are a lot of people getting out of college. And even if you are 40, 50, guess what? You might want to save your money and invest it in other things. Because typically, mortgage is a very safe investment.
Right.
And I am not an accountant, but most people get tax write-offs. So they're like, let me maximize my mortgage investment, use my money for other things.
Right.
Or some people just feel really good because they're saving their money,
right?
I'd rather keep it so if something happens, I can make my mortgage payment.
Right.
So there are low and no down payment programs, even for veterans. Veterans can do 100% financing.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. So that's a very common question.
Okay.
You do not need to cut off your arm and give your firstborn and have 20% to put down. I promise.
Okay. All right. I don't know that they want my firstborn. Anyway.
Okay. If you get mine, good luck.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, all right. What's next? What's the next big question?
Do I have to have perfect credit? And you do not. Crazy, right? Now, let's use common sense.
Okay.
The better your credit is,
right,
the easier the loan process is going to go.
Right.
So, if you come in and you say, hey, I filed bankruptcy yesterday and I did not pay my car payment for 6 months, we might have an issue.
Okay,
we're not going to be great friends on the first day.
Right.
But people are so terrified. You know, when I was 18, I, you know, didn't make a credit card payment, or I have a medical collection.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you cannot get a loan. Underwriters typically like to see three accounts that you've paid on time for at least 12 months.
Okay.
So if you've got a few credit cards or student loans or a car payment, if you've paid on time on those for a good year, now the longer the better, we're going to see a good history, right? So there are credit score requirements for different programs. I hate to give those because there's so many programs, and I hate to say, oh, you have to have this or you can't get a loan. So, you know, typically I can give you a good range. 620 is about the lowest credit score on a conventional loan.
Okay.
And when I tell you this, you're going to fall out of your chair. But don't, because I don't know if I can pick you up.
Right, you can't.
Okay, yes. I'd have to call for help.
You wouldn't have to.
For FHA, which is another great, great, great program for first-time home buyers, some lending institutions will let you get on to 580.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Under 600.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy.
It is. It's wild. Now, you may have to go jump through some hoops, and you may have to, you know, obviously provide some more. There may be some different stipulations and overlays, but my point is, even if you don't have a 780, you know, a 780 credit score, still pursue this. If it's something you're interested in, go for it.
So let me ask you this, because I know that there are some institutions that actually have programs to help you repair credit. Do you guys?
We do. And most lending institutions will. And here's also another good piece of information. We all can provide the direct phone numbers to Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, which are the three main bureaus that lending institutions use. And they are so helpful. You know, typically you can call, because sometimes, let's say that you have a late payment, it's only reported to one bureau.
Right.
But all companies typically will have that, and they will put you on, you know, a path that will help you fix it or give you advice on reestablishing credit, or, you know, choosing the right direction for your specific, because I could line up 10 people and they're all going to have a different path.
Right.
So yeah, that's great. Always inquire about that.
So they literally could call Catherine Youngs.
Of course.
And say, I'm not sure what my credit, I think my credit's maybe a little questionable.
Yeah.
Can I enroll in a program with you to help me fix my credit?
Sure. Of course they can. And you know, that brings up a really good point. A lot of people will pull their credit through, you know, some companies will offer, hey, you can go in and pull your credit, right. Or they do it online.
Right.
And it's a little deceiving, and I think it's a great indicator. So if people do that, it's fine. But it may be a different scoring module, and it may be a different way that's scored than what we will pull as what we call a tri-merge. So if you're pulling your own credit, it's great. I think monitoring your credit is great. Obviously, you want to look to make sure there's no fraud or identity theft. Right. So monitoring that is great. But just know that it could be a little different than what a mortgage institution may pull.
Sure.
It's a good indicator, but I can't tell you how many times I hear, well, I pulled my credit and it was a 732,
right.
And then I pull it and it's a 712.
Right.
Well, they think that I am the devil and I am lying. And I'm like, oh. So, and so I always have to explain that I did not create that score.
Right.
I did not make it up, and that it really did come back from the main credit bureaus.
Okay, can we talk about a credit? I don't know if this is myth or not. Do you get hits checking your credit too often?
So
is that
you
a myth?
Can.
Is that a myth?
You can get hits. However, typically if you are shopping for a mortgage loan and you call a few lenders a couple of times and they pull it within so many days, you will not be hit.
Okay.
Now, there are always exceptions. And if I tell you that you never could have a credit score drop, you would be the one person that it would happen to.
Right.
So because there are other things going on in your personal world, like you could have tried to get a credit card, or you could have tried to get an increased limit on a credit card you already have, or purchase a car, right? And if you don't tell me those things, activity on your report could be happening, I don't know it, and then I pull your credit, your score goes down 10 points, and then once again, I'm the devil.
Right.
So typically though, I think it is fair for buyers to check with different lenders, see who you're comfortable with. Make sure that lender is giving you the information that you need and that you want. Shop the market, shop, you know, programs. Some lending institutions may have something different than others. So I do think that it is safe for your credit to be pulled. I would not go crazy. And then just because also another thing that people don't think about, they are called inquiries on your credit report, right? And an underwriter is going to look at that and say, well, Jay is trying to buy a home, but his credit's been pulled 18 times. Is he trying to is he getting declined at these other lenders?
Got it.
Right? It can create a story that may not be there.
So I may be one of these people who's just shopping lenders, right? And I'm just trying to see if I can find something a little bit better, a better rate, or, you know, maybe something, there's a program out there that might be better. And so I've gone to 18 different lenders doing that, but the underwriter, right, may look at that as completely different.
That's right. And not necessarily. And you do have to, as a buyer, a borrower, address inquiries that have been pulled for a certain amount of time. Because we want to know, hey, if your credit was pulled, did you incur any new debt that we don't know, that we don't see?
Because it may not be
reporting yet.
Yeah.
So don't try, you know, if you want to trick me, we'll find out.
We'll find out. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So
we'll find out.
You gave us some programs when it came to some programs for first-time home buyers, like that were you didn't have to bring any money to the table. Of course, there's, you know, and then there's 2-3% down, and there were some other. Is there some other programs for first-time home buyers that you haven't talked about that we should mention?
You know, I tell people all the time to check within, because I know we have listeners and viewers from all over, right? And I would check within your particular state. Like here we have North Carolina Housing Finance Agency, and they provide grants, down payment assistance, what we call MCC credits. And so every state could have different agencies that will be helpful. And every lending institution may have their proprietary program that may be helpful too. But there are a lot, and it's worth researching.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, a realtor is always so great to have. Another question, do I need a realtor? Because people will come to me before they start looking. And the reason that that question kind of filters into that, realtors also know lenders and they have relationships with lending institutions that know about these down payment assistance programs.
Right.
So they can match you with someone that has the knowledge.
Right. Yeah, it's not an adversarial relationship you guys have with real estate folks. It's so cooperative.
100%. We want to be a team together to help you.
Right.
And a lot of first-time home buyers say, well, I don't need an agent, and oh my gosh, isn't it just extra money to spend? No. It is you having someone to represent you, especially on your first home.
Yeah.
Is so important, right?
Because you don't know what you don't know.
You don't.
And it's really easy to get caught up into something. I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, but sometimes you can get caught up into something bad and you didn't even realize it.
Well, people don't realize as first-time home buyers, do you need a termite inspection?
Right.
You know, they walk in and they're like, oh my gosh, the paint is gorgeous.
Right.
They don't understand underneath the paint could be some rot,
right?
Water damage.
Right.
And so a real estate agent is there to protect you.
Right, yeah, because you're probably not going to go in the crawl space.
No. I will not.
All right, let's talk about gift money. There's got to be limits. At least, when I was first starting in real estate, that's a long time ago. There was limits on how much money you could be gifted. Is that still true? I mean, how flexible is that? Because a lot of first-time home buyers, maybe mom and dad or maybe another relative or something like that may have some money that they're willing to help them out to get started.
Can you introduce me to those people?
I would be happy to. if I knew.
If they're giving money out, I'm getting in
line. If I knew any of them, I would tell you who they were.
So that's a great question. A lot of not even first-time home buyers, a lot of buyers in general don't realize that gift money is acceptable for most transactions. In a lot of cases, there is not a limit on the amount you can get. So if mom and dad are handing it out, just tell them to keep it coming. right? You're like, okay, I'm ready. My bank account is open. The biggest thing about gifts, anyone that is involved in the transaction cannot be the donor. So you don't want the real estate agent, the closing attorney, the builder, the seller, they cannot give you money to buy the home.
Right.
So like you said, it's usually a parent, grandparent, relative,
right.
spouse, domestic partner, someone of that nature. And some programs do require you to have, you as the buyer, a minimum investment, maybe 5%.
Right.
But you can get gift money, and it's very common, very common.
Right.
A few extra little pieces of paper to document that,
but
in general, happens all the time.
Right, but there's not a limit now.
No.
I think there was at one time, there was a limit.
A lot of people have the question, and I have to be very careful talking about this, when you talk about your taxes and IRS sort of, if I give more than X amount, is that going to be a problem for me when it comes to paying taxes or on my personal tax returns? And I always refer to a CPA or an accountant because I don't want to go to jail. I don't look really good in orange,
And lead is just and not something I really want to be around.
You got it.
Right, yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So, but no. So gift money, certainly acceptable, and we just have to document that.
Okay.
And that also leads me into another. Some people say, well, can I just, my parents, or give me cash?
Right.
Cash isn't a great word in the mortgage industry. We don't love that word. We want it to be sourced or seasoned. Please don't get $100,000 under the mattress and bring it. That would be a problem. So we really do have to source and know where the money's coming from. So if your parents are giving you money, don't go dig it up in the backyard.
Okay, got it.
You might not close on your loan.
Okay, don't do that. Okay. All right, so we're down here to the last minute.
What? Wow.
Yeah, you've been on almost 30 minutes with me. So how can a first-time homebuyer be more prepared before they come and meet you?
Documents. Have some documents ready. Pay stubs, W-2s, bank statements. Bank statements for about 2 months. Last 2 years, W-2s. Pay stubs, 30 days. Just have that ready. And then just a general idea of what you're going to be comfortable with, right? I might tell you you can buy $1 million home, but you don't want the mortgage payment of $1 million home. Right. So an idea of where you're going to be comfortable, the amount of cash you'll have, and then some documents so that we can just jump right in and so you can be a homeowner. It can happen.
All right. So first of all, you've been absolutely fantastic.
You're great.
Have you enjoyed it?
Of course. I love a microphone.
Yes. I say the same thing. There's never been a microphone I never liked. I've liked them all.
Oh, I love them.
So how can people get a hold of you, Catherine?
Website, call me, cell phone, 919-796-3009.
Repeat that number again.
919-796-3009. Or you can always Google me, Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, Youngs with an S, Y-O-U-N-G-S. And just put guaranteed rate right in the search box and I will pop up.
What about an email address?
So Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, I have to say that because it's spelled right. So differently, .youngs with an S at rate, R-A-T-E .com.
Catherine.youngs at rate. How awesome is that? They got rate.com.
Awesome. And it's easy.
And it's easy.
Right.
You've been great. Thank you.
I have enjoyed this. Go buy a home, people. It's worth it.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you what. This has been Real Estate Right Now. I am so glad that you joined us. Listen, I know you have a lot of choices out there. And you chose us. And I could not be more grateful. You know what? We're going to be back next week with another great show. I'm going to have another great guest. It's going to be another great topic that I promise you because it's real estate matters that matter to you most. And so what I want to say to all of you out there everywhere is thank you, everyone, and ciao, everybody. Bye.
Bye.